Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. A shooting suspect in Colorado Springs now faces murder and hate crimes charges as loved ones of victims try to wrap their heads around what happened. CBS's Danya Backus has details.
Family members who lost loved ones in the deadly shooting at Club Q in Colorado Springs say they're living in a nightmare.
I keep thinking it's so, you know, it's a mistake. They've made a mistake.
Sabrina Aston says her son Daniel was a bartender at the club and was killed during Saturday night's rampage.
He lit up a room. He really did. Always smiling, always happy.
Investigators are still looking through the alleged shooter's social media for a motive on the attack. This comes a year after police say he was arrested for threatening his mother with a bomb. Tragedy at an Apple store in Massachusetts today after an SUV slammed right into it. CBS's Matt Piper reports.
At least one person is dead and nearly two dozen others are injured after an SUV crashed into an Apple store in Hingham, Massachusetts, south of Boston. Emily McKenna was inside the store.
It sounded like a lot of glass just smashing.
Dr. Christopher Burns is with South Shore Hospital.
Multiple patients with life-threatening and limb-threatening injuries.
The driver remained on scene, but no word yet on what happened behind the wheel. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Federal law enforcement has announced 51 arrests in connection with ongoing efforts to get fentanyl off the streets of Los Angeles. DEA Special Agent in Charge Bill Bodner.
The key part of our strategy is going after these wholesale dealers, the people bringing a half a million pills or a million pills into our community.
But he says dealers are also selling online, marketing them on the dark web. A potential railroad strike could start as early as next month. CBS's Jason Brooks.
The Union for Railway Conductors rejected a tentative labor agreement, and despite voting in favor of the contract, the union representing railway engineers says it will honor the picket line if there's a strike. The Association of American Railroads estimates that a strike would cost the economy about $2 billion a day.
It could also drive up fuel and food prices ahead of the holidays. NASA's Orion capsule successfully swung around the moon today.
Orion has emerged from the backside of the moon after.
This was just a test flight, but it is the first time a capsule has visited since NASA's Apollo program 50 years ago. NASA hopes to get a crew back to the moon by 2025. A familiar face is back to run things at Disney. The company appointed former CEO Bob Iger as its new CEO. Iger will replace Bob Chapek, who he appointed just 2 years ago. Shares of Disney have been slumping all year, but were up 6% today on Wall Street. The Dow lost 44 points. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in taxes, please listen to this important message. The IRS is aggressively hiring and quickly ramping up their tax collection team. Act now and protect yourself with a call to Tax Alliance. Don't let the money you owe the IRS keep you up at night and ruin your life. You may be surprised at how much having Tax Alliance on your side can protect you from the IRS collections and help you save thousands on what you owe. Here's what a customer had to say.
Tax Alliance did an amazing job helping me through a quite difficult situation, saving me tens and thousands of dollars that I would have been paying for many years to come.
Tax Alliance is rated A+ with a Better Business Bureau with no consumer complaints. If you owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes, have unfiled returns, or have a payment plan and are still frustrated, call Tax Alliance now for a free consultation. 800-577-4976. 800-577-4976. 800-577-4976.
Tax Alliance, your tax resolution solution.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Wausau Area School District is still suffering from a bus driver shortage. But the district's bus company, First Student, is apologizing for the delays and route cancellations parents and students have been experiencing since the beginning of the year, and they have promised that interruptions to services will be fixed. They spent the weekend reconstructing bus routes to make them more efficient with the limited number of drivers they have. New plans will go into effect this coming week, and they will make adjustments as needed to give the service that students and families deserve. Today marks 1 year since the Waukesha Christmas Parade tragedy that killed 6 people, wounded dozens of others, and scarred the entire community. Flags across Wisconsin are at half staff in remembrance. Governor Evers said the anniversary is also a chance to remember and honor the bravery of those who helped that day. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 13. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 37. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Lows around 17. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Low 40s Wednesday, upper 30s Thursday, with a chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Licensees, from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. My little buddy Dominic in the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Studios. Dominic, I am on the road again, man. I am in beautiful Lake Eyre country. I'm in Amory, Wisconsin. Today, I'll tell you why in just a little bit.
Crudy, on the road again. Good to be with you. Happy Monday. Evan on the board. Calvin here in the Waukesha studios, our fair audience. Happy Monday. Here we go again.
Dominic, I wanted to mention, I hope you're hearing me, buddy. I wanted to mention, we will check in with the vigil in Waukesha today. Today, the one-year anniversary, November 21st, of 2021 was the tragic day. Darrell Brooks rampaged through the parade, injured 61, killed 6. And at 4:39 Central Time today, it will mark the one-year anniversary to the minute. We've got Don Brown live in Waukesha. I know you're in Waukesha as well, Dom. So Don will be on the site. Don said they're expecting thousands for this vigil, Don.
Yeah.
So Don will check in about 4:30 today, and we will, you know, bring you up to speed. Obviously, Darrell Brooks recently sentenced, several hundred years in prison, Dom. But today is that day. And I will point out perhaps a better day to look forward to coming up on December 4th when they'll have this year's Waukesha Christmas Parade. We will broadcast it live. Our studios are on the Waukesha Parade Ground Route 217 Wisconsin Avenue. That will be Sunday, December 4th. And you may want to tune in. That will be a very special broadcast across the Civic Media Network, certainly on WAUK 540 AM. But today, Dom, I want to talk about a couple of things. Obviously, we've got a mass shooting in Colorado, and you know, Dom, I don't want to talk about that much because seemingly there's never any progress made. And we'll get there. And we're also going to have our good friend Scott Ross in the Happier Happy Hour today after 5 o'clock. So we'll look forward to Scott, and we'll get to the Trump Twitter, right? Trump's back on Twitter, Dom.
Oh no, is he really? I haven't used Twitter a whole lot since then. I know some people are getting off the platform. Yes, we'll have that conversation as well.
Well, some of us never really adopted the Twitter platform. Some, meaning me. You've been tweeting out for the crew for some time, Dom, but most of the harshest of all the Devil's Advocates tweets, they all at Devil Radio, come from Dom. Hashtag Dom.
You're welcome.
Dominic, wanted to start today looking at the great state of Wisconsin. There's a reason I'm up here in the hinterland in the northwestern part of Wisconsin. I'm basically in the Minnesota, the Minneapolis outmarket. And Amory, Wisconsin is quite a small community, a couple thousand. And earlier today, Dom, I ran up the Hayward. Hayward's the sign of the Birker Beiner cross-country skiing race. And they told me it's a lot more than that. It is a thriving little community, Dom. But I want to start today, and hopefully you got this one. Six questions the November 8th midterm elections answered about Wisconsin politics. Craig Gilbert, special to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Like every election, the 2022 midterm taught us some things about the political landscape. It taught us the polls can still be pretty good. It taught us when voters are broadly unhappy, they don't always take it out on the party in power. And it taught us that the partisan realignment behind Donald Trump's historic 16 victory is still ongoing. But in the big statewide elections, the voting trends that helped carry Trump to victory here 6 years ago may now be hurting Republicans in Wisconsin more than helping them. In a column last month, Gilbert talked, you know, some political questions. He wants to revisit some of them now. Dom, here are some of the questions. I'm going to need your help.
I got you, man.
Is the right track, wrong track a good election barometer? The answer, not so much. You hear me reference this one all the time, Dom. Right track, wrong track. If the Packers lose too many games, it could be decimating for an incumbent because the people in the state of Wisconsin would have the perception we're on the wrong freaking track. But Gilbert says, right track, wrong track, not so much. This is not just a nerdy polling question. It gets at something essential about this election and how it was that an unpopular president, persistent inflation, and a very unhappy electorate didn't produce big losses for the party in power. Only a third of Wisconsin voters thought the state was going in the right track, according to the last Marquette University Law School polls. Only 42% approved of President Joe Biden's performance in office. And despite these headwinds, Democratic Governor Tony Evers got reelected with 51% of the vote and won a bigger victory than he did in 18 when he had the benefit of running with an unpopular Republican Trump in the White House. In the Senate race, Democrat Mandela Barnes came closer to defeating GOP incumbent Ron Johnson than expected. You know, Dom, I hate when we reference moral victories. And when you consider how midterms are supposed to work, this is kind of backwards. History suggests that Democrats would take a bath here and nationally. Why didn't they? One explanation embraced by many strategists on both sides is that the Supreme Court's abortion decision overturning Roe v. Wade, the flaws and fringe quality of some very, let's call them Trumpy GOP candidates, Dom, and Trump's capacity to mobilize Democrats and alienate independents all leveled the playing field in this midterm. In the presidential exit poll, as many voters, 30%, cited opposition to the former President Trump as a factor in their vote, as cited opposition to the current President Biden. That is not a normal phenomenon. So 30% said they were voting against Trump, and about 30% said they're voting against the current president. A little bit more here, Dom. While Biden's approval has been mired in the low 40s, his job ratings turned out to be a deceptive election barometer. Pollster and political scientist Ken Goldstein flagged an unusual polling trend weeks before the election that voters who disapproved of Biden included many who were only mildly negative towards the president. Now, that's like you half the time. And many of those voters were Democrats or independents who still planned to support Democratic candidates for Congress or governor. In national exit polls, these somewhat Biden disapprovers broke very slightly for Democrats, accounting for the gap between Biden's approval and how this party performed in many statewide elections. In a similar way, the right track, wrong track number turned out to be a poor election barometer, and therefore I'll only use it most of the time from
okay,
here forward.
Thank you, Michael.
But why don't we jump forward, Dom? Because, you know,
I'll jump on here. Crudy, another one. Bill Glaub reporting in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. 6 questions in November midterm answered about Wisconsin politics. Here is number 2, according to Bill. Will Wisconsin voters vote the same way for governor and senator? Well, obviously the answer is no, but Bill writes it is a close call. The decline of ticket splitting has increased the odds against split outcomes at the top of the ticket. That's when voters back one party for the U.S. Senate and another party for president or governor. It hasn't happened in Wisconsin since 1998. In that election, more than 20% of voters split their tickets for governor and Senate, according to the exit polls. In this election, fewer than 5% did. But it doesn't take much ticket splitting to get a split outcome if both elections are close, and that's exactly what happened. These elections were historically tight. Evers' 3.4-point victory was the second closest race for governor of Wisconsin since 1964. Johnson's 1-point victory was the closest race for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin since 1914, the first year that senators were elected by popular vote. There was only a 4-point gap in the margin of victory in these two races. The vast majority of voters backed the same party in both contests. According to the Wisconsin exit poll, only 1% of those who voted Democratic for U.S. Senate voted Republican for governor, meaning there were almost no Barnes-Michaels voters. And just 7% of those who voted Republican for Senate voted Democratic for governor, meaning there was a small group of Johnson-Evers ticket splitters. Ticket splitting didn't roar back, but there were enough ticket splitters to prevent the same party from winning both races. And Curry, I'll jump on one more here. How will the political map change? The answer, the Trump realignment continued. Beginning in 2016, Wisconsin's smaller and more rural counties have gotten redder, and its bigger metropolitan counties have gotten bluer, reflecting a widening education gap, widening gap between religious and secular voters, and the chasm between more densely populated places and less densely populated places. The trends did not abate in 2022. Of the 15 counties, this is interesting, of the 15 counties that produced the most votes, 12 of them moved in a Democratic direction from the 2018 race for governor to the 2022 race for governor. Of the 40 counties that produced the fewest votes, 37 of them moved in a Republican direction, but the effects were not symmetrical. The vote shift in the 40 smaller counties produced a net Republican gain of about 17,000 votes over 2018. The vote shift in the 15 biggest counties produced a far larger net Democratic gain of about 87,000 votes. Most of this came from just 3 counties, the state's largest, Milwaukee and Dane, which got bluer, and Waukesha, which got less red. You're welcome. The growing gap between metropolitan and rural Wisconsin helped Trump win Wisconsin in 2016, but the rural shift was so dramatic in that particular election. But the same fundamental divide helped defeat Trump in 2020 and helped Democrats win the Wisconsin governor's race in 2018 and 22 because of the GOP's unchecked erosion in suburban Milwaukee and suburban Madison. Johnson survived this pattern in 2022, but his Senate victory margin was much smaller in 22 than it was in 10 or 16. And that change was driven by what happened in the state's biggest red and blue counties.
Dominic Crudy on the road again. I'm in beautiful Lake Eyre country, Amory, Wisconsin, playing out here on 1260 AM. Took her all the way up to Sawyer County in Hayward, Wisconsin. Another small but thriving community in northern Wisconsin. And you know what, this area up here, very, very red. But it ain't going to be as red for much longer because we are putting inroads here, man. We are making impact in these communities. I'll tell you about a few of the people I've met up here, Dom. And I can tell you, not a single person that I've asked or spoken to through the course of the last 2-3 days, not a single one asked me about my politics. But the one guy, when I pointed out that I was, you know, left of center, if you will, he was very, very excited. Come back with us, Devil's Advocates Radio Show. If you are finding us for...
Fly your team flag.
Down he goes, another sack.
Cue up, jump around. And rep your Cardinal and white Bucky gear.
He's gone all the way.
It's Badger football.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Let's go.
6 more on the board for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Join us Saturday. It's the regular season finale against the rival Gophers. Our coverage begins at 12:30.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you.
I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open for your take. As always, happy Monday to us all. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, we'll get to the phones momentarily. Got to tell you, I'm in beautiful, I think it's Polk County. I'm in Amory, Wisconsin. I'm learning the back roads. I went up to Sawyer County. I went up to Hayward. That's, you know, sort of Muskie Lumberjack Company country here in northern Wisconsin. Dom, we're looking forward to closing on and turning up a couple of these radio stations. And I got to tell you, the locals I've met up here, they love us already, Dom. They don't even know us, but to know us is to love us. I think we got probably a few new friends in Osceola listening in today. Hopefully some people here in Lake Country, 1260 AM listening in Amory. And I can tell you, you can hear this signal, and it's going to get bigger and better in about 2 weeks, Tom. But this signal, I heard it most of the way, all the way up to Hayward, which is about 90 minutes northeast of where I'm currently located. I've been there and back today. And, Dom, the people I met here, the main streets are thriving. I did go into a Packer bar yesterday.
it's work. You got to check out, see what the locals are doing, right?
Well, I did. I went into a Viking bar in Osceola.
Oh, a
I mean,
Viking
every
bar.
TV. Yes, I misspoke. A Viking bar.
Oh, they had a
and
tough
I went in
day
there.
Yesterday, man.
I know. I stayed for one cocktail, and the bartender was really quite good, but he offered me a menu, and I looked at the score, and it was like 20-3, and I'm like, maybe not.
Man, the NFL maybe cut not. Away from got... that game and played the other game at, like, I don't know, halfway through the third quarter. It was a blowout.
You know, I was listening to KFAN, which is one of the best talk stations, sports talk, in the nation out of Minneapolis, and they were quite miserable, Dom. But it was an opportune time to go to the Dallas House. I got to tell you, in this part of the world, some of the best steak and seafood I've had recently. So I went there last night. I've eaten like a big dog here.
You've they had got a lot of steak and seafood recently, Curdy, so I trust your judgment.
Well, you know, I do like to partake. If nothing else, that's, you know, I ate one company meal since I've been here. That was the one. But I also ate at Farm to Table, and I've eaten at the family restaurant here in Amory. And, you know, the fare's been good. Yummy. It's been good. The people have been quite nice, Dom. And as mentioned, as I go out and meet people on Main Street, and I tell them, hey, we're coming to your town, and we're going to try and restore the quality of local radio. And you know, Dom, it's been a wonderful embrace by these local communities because they miss it. If they don't have it, they miss it. Radio is so very important. A lady in town here today told me, well, I live in Amory, and it's great, but I go 4 miles outside of town, and I can't get broadband internet. The radio is her lifeline. I mean, if she can't listen to the Packers, what are you going to do? And the guy I talked to yesterday, I told him, you know, we're a Badger station up here. This guy's a big, big, big sports fan, you could tell. He had actually, where did he go to college? He, River Falls, which I won't hold against him. You know, a couple of lacrosse grads ourselves, Dom. But meeting people, they're very friendly people, as I would expect in Wisconsin. I've gone in, I've introduced myself, and, you know, literally within a matter of minutes, Dom, I feel like I've made some friendly acquaintances, and they've all been very helpful. They've tried to point me towards some real estate and some local people, which could be talent that could join Civic Media at some point in the future. But it's nice and refreshing that not a single one of them's asked me my politics. The only guy I admitted my politics to is the guy that had a Joe Biden mug on his shelf. But first I asked him if it was his Joe Biden mug. He said it was.
All right, so they didn't bring up politics to you, Crudy. Did you bring up politics to them?
Only when necessary. Only when necessary.
And how do you determine what is necessary? I mean, you didn't lead with that, obviously.
No, because it is not my job to change your mind in a direct way. But it is my job, I feel like, Dom, is we're up here and we're trying to build out radio facilities. This station here had been literally off the air. This community felt abandoned for lack of a radio station. If it weren't for my partner and his financial commitment to putting the right tech in, to putting, you know, the right big transmitters, they're expensive machines. But when this thing comes out the other end, this community can be proud that it's represented. And as he told me, as different people told me, the Chamber of Commerce told me, you know, there are certain communities that have more going on than others. But all these little towns, if you live in a town of 2,000, Dom, every weekend is not festival weekend in your town. And you, if you don't want to go bored to tears, I mean, if you like to fish, Dom, lots of lakes. But if you're looking for a good time on a Friday or a Saturday night, all these little communities do round robins, and they invite each other in. You know, it was so funny today. I'm leaving Hayward today, and I'm driving under a railroad bridge, and obviously the high school kids, the class of 22, had come all the way to Hayward to write Spooner Blows on the railroad bridge. You know, these back little community battles. It's like the Hatfields and the McCoys in a positive sort of way. It was, you know, Spooner Blows, it could have been a lot worse, Dom. But anyways, it's been refreshing, and I know that this part of the state is about 65% red currently. It ain't going to stay that way, Dom. I guarantee it, man. It cannot stay that way when the devil's advocates are out here making friends all over, you know, northwestern Wisconsin, as the case may be.
Crudy on the road again. Love it, man. I love to hear what's going on out there. I love the fact you're out there putting the miles in, setting these things up. It takes effort. It takes work. It's more than just the money. It's an effort of a full team of people to get it up and running. And of course, we've got to have the programming and the production to get it all out there. And the phone lines to talk to the people at 844-967-2789. We'll take some calls. We have Don Brown checking in, of course. Today, the one-year anniversary of the Waukesha Christmas Parade tragedy. We'll discuss more of that with you. And again, our friend Scott Ross at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Once again, 844-967-2789. We are the Devil's Advocates all over Wisconsin, all over the United States, all over the world. Coming back with your calls in just a minute. We'll be right back.
I'm standing pretty in the dust that was a city. If I could find a souvenir just to prove world was here, and here it is, a red balloon. I think of you and let it go.
Hey, yes, Pants in town.
Yeah, probably.
The Shaw 101.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Don't flip a coin and let the odds of heads or tails decide which bank you choose to work with for your home loan. Huddle with the mortgage professionals at Key Savings Bank, 811 East Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids, and the town of Rome. You'll find experienced coaches who will help pull together your game plan. No out-of-bounds advice or pump fake offers. You just get that all-important home field advantage. Key Savings Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Key Savings Bank.
Quality Foods makes Thanksgiving meal planning easy. Get your Thanksgiving dinner from Quality Foods on Baker and West Grand. Complete heat and serve whole turkey or turkey breast dinners with mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing, green bean casserole, and more. Even your choice of dessert. Just reheat and serve. Voila! Thanksgiving dinner is done. While supplies last, call ahead by November 21st to order. Thanksgiving dinners and the fixins from Quality Food Baker and West Grand of Wisconsin Rapids. Get the details at qualityfoodswisrapids.com.
Game day, Green Bay and Minnesota. Place, the frozen tundra. Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Puzzles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. When you connect with an expert, getting coverage is easy and our help is free. We find the best deals, whether it's from healthcare.gov or state coverage like BadgerCare. And you can reach us in person, phone, text, or online. Honestly, it's like chatting with a friend who knows everything about health insurance. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you or go to wiscovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. RSV cases have significantly increased this year compared to last, and increased cases in children has led to a possible amoxicillin shortage across the nation. While alternatives are still available, and tablets, capsules, and chew tablets of amoxicillin are available, the liquid or suspended version of the drug, which is most commonly used for children, is decreasing in supply. There is still inventory available, but pharmacies can only receive so much. Fortunately, not all respiratory illnesses require an antibiotic, and the shortage should be temporary. St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Stevens Point is hosting their Thanksgiving basket event for its 13th year. This church has been giving back to the community in their annual event that provides hundreds of families with a Thanksgiving meal, as well as personal hygiene products, books, and winter gear. This is their first year back to having an in-person event after closing during COVID and having a drive-through pickup last year. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 13. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 37. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Lows around 17. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Low 40s Wednesday, upper 30s Thursday with a chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
She is running for the appellate court. And Dom, right now, we are going to go live to our colleague, Don Brown. You're in Waukesha, WAUK 540 AM, the Shaw 101.1 FM. And Don Brown is one of our fine hosts, the host of This Week in Waukesha, and also the play-by-play host of many of the sports events that originate from Waukesha. And Don, you are at the site of the Christmas parade vigil in Waukesha. Don, what's going on, man?
That's correct, Mike. I'm here at Cutler Park. We've got a really nice turnout. Many of the victims and their families are here to spend some quality time with the Teagues family. He's going to be on the show this Saturday. On the Cutler Park stage, the Les Paul Performance Center stage, we've got Police Chief Daniel Thompson, Mayor Sean Riley, who's expected to make the opening comments, Fire Chief Steve Howard, Governor Tony Evers here, and Father Pat Hoppe of the Waukesha Catholic Faith Community, who was also one of the victims from the parade last year. So it's great to see such a strong turnout. The city buildings were all closed at 4 o'clock today so that the employees could take time to reflect and also participate in the vigil. So we had a few minutes. The mayor will be starting at 4:39, which is the exact time the events took place, the tragic events of last year. So again, it's a great great example of Waukesha Strong is what we see here today, Mike.
Yeah. And Don, let's talk about this Christmas Christmas parade tradition. I mean, until it was struck with tragedy last year, this was a great community event, something that I suspect Waukesha looked forward to every year. It was about a year ago at this time that I partnered, and I was in a transaction to purchase a station in Waukesha, and this tragedy happened. And we made a commitment to being part of Waukesha. Our studios, where Dom's broadcasting from right now, is on the Waukesha Parade Ground. That's going to come on December 4th this year, but this marks the one-year anniversary. Tell us more about sort of how the community's doing at this stage, Don, 1 year later.
Sure. Yeah, you know, I think it's timely that the trial finally ended when it did last week, so we can put that all behind us. Just a lot of optimism, a lot of support. Again, I'm standing next to the Teagues family. They're getting a lot of hugs and handshakes and embraces from different members of the community. You're right about the parade. This will be the 59th annual parade that's coming up on December 4th, and it's right out of that parade, if you remember the movie The Christmas Story. It's, you know, a lot of joy. You know, it's always freezing cold, but that doesn't hold anybody back. Kids of all ages, 1 to 99, celebrating together. It really is a great tradition. What's different about this coming year, Mike, is that normally it's the Sunday after Thanksgiving, you know, to kind of ring in the holiday shopping season, and the city decided to push that back a week to the 4th. So for the first time perhaps ever, it's going to be the first Sunday in December as opposed to that Sunday before Thanksgiving. And I think perhaps because it is a little too close to the anniversary date might be one of the reasons. The other reasons may be for just support and planning for the city. And, you know, they do a good job in these types of things. So we're looking forward to a great parade and you know, really excited that Walk Radio will be covering it. And, you know, that, again, we're going to continue being Waukesha Strong and that the victims, you know, they remain in our hearts as witnessed by tonight's turnout. And really every day, you know, the handing out the blue light bulbs, but the blue light bulbs honestly have been on all year round. So it's just great to see, you know, this community remaining strong and continuing strong into the future.
Don, of course, a terrible tragedy for everyone involved, and no sense of justice can, you know, really bring anybody back, and it's very difficult to, for all the family members and friends and ever the community to deal with. Don, but is it your sense that people, do they feel like justice has been served in this case?
I think so. When you look at the amount of years, again, I'm standing next to the Teagues family, and Don had posted on social media that, you know, he was pleased to see that the assailant got 17 and a half years for what he did to his son. And, you know, with all the tragedy, especially that young Jackson Sparks, there's also been miracles and redemption hope. You know, Eric Teagues is 5 feet away. You know, he wasn't supposed to survive that attack. This young man was run over, and I'm talking right now. He's deciding which of the three schools he's going to be playing baseball for.
Amazing.
Next year. You know, yeah. And just great kid, great family. His father's a lieutenant in the Caledonia Fire Department. And, you know, good friend of my son's. They play baseball together. And you talk about so hard to keep a good man down. And, you know, Eric Teagues and his family are a shining example. They're going to be on my show this Saturday, too. So, Block Radio, Civic Media will get to know the Teagues family much better on the Saturday morning show. So.
And Don, we're turning the clock here on 4:39. Don, I suspect The ceremony is going to begin.
Yeah, I see Mayor Riley starting to move around. He's pointing at some different people, looking for some support. It looks like he's heading towards the podium. Yep, here Mayor Sean Riley's about to speak. So, yeah, this is ready to begin. And there was really no program. I'll see what the mayor's saying here. I'll share a few brief comments, and I know you got to get back to your show. So he's reading the names of the six who were killed. He's mentioned the 70 others being, you know, physically injured, and the hundreds more that have suffered trauma, emotional stress. So now he's asking for the moment of silence. Ended the silence, saying we will never forget.
You are listening to a very special vigil in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Mayor Sean Riley speaking, acknowledging the tragedy of this event that happened in Waukesha. Don't know if you can hear me, Don. It's not translating great for our radio audience, but we certainly appreciate you being there live on the scene for us, Don. Obviously, we know that this... Yeah, 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. Tune in this week in Waukesha, hosted by Don Brown and the Teagues family. This week in particular will be a very special show. And then next Sunday, WAUK Radio will broadcast live from the new version of the Waukesha Christmas Parade. Hopefully a new, happier version, Don. But the vigil goes on in Waukesha. Don, we appreciate you taking us there today.
Likewise. Thanks, Mike, and thanks for keeping Waukesha in your hearts, everybody. Bye for now.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Don.
Yeesh. Yeah, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Obviously, Waukesha has become part of our family, Don. We had WRD there for about 4 or 5 years, and our office was in Milwaukee, and our facility was in Waukesha. But now we're all committed. We're all in. We are on the Waukesha Parade route on Wisconsin Avenue. And on Sunday, December 4th, which will be my son's 19th birthday, I'll probably spend my afternoon in Waukesha acknowledging the people in that town, Dom, and the parade. And hopefully a more optimistic Christmas parade going forward, but certainly a somber Christmas parade as well. How could it not be?
Yeah, just really heart goes out to everybody, the families and the victims. And, you know, it kind of cry for humanity in some respects, too, man. You know, we see continual tragedy go on this time here in Waukesha at the parade. We've talked about the numerous shootings out there and the failure of society in some regards. You know, if we look at what could have maybe have been done with this guy and his low bail, would anything have changed, or some of these other shootings, if the red flag law and if this and if that, if they didn't get a weapon, would things have changed? And, you know, we can't go back and undo any of that, but it's certainly, you know, we have to ponder those questions and hopefully use wisdom to guide our future decisions, knowing what we're capable of doing to ourselves. I mean, humanity is certainly a flawed species, capable of so much good and so much tragedy.
Well, Dom, as we did a live listening, again, thank you to Don Brown, former Waukesha Alder, current host of This Week in Waukesha, and a lot of the Waukesha sports content originating out of WAUK. But as we tune in for that anniversary of the carnage from a year ago, Dom, as I observe CNN, there is currently a live news conference going on. Obviously, over the course of last weekend, there was a deadly nightclub shooting at an LGBTQ nightclub in Colorado Springs, Colorado. My understanding, at least 5 dead, 20-plus injured. And it was actually the patrons of the nightclub that disarmed the shooter, ultimately, Dom. But this, you know, I've told you, and you know this going in today, I don't know how to have this conversation any longer, because thoughts and prayers are just so unfulfilling. There's nothing we can argue about with another mass shooting, another tragedy that ever seems to move the Republican electorate. They're okay. It's like they're willing to accept carnage in exchange for some sort of Second Amendment freedom unrestrained. And it's just too hard for me to have these conversations at this late hour sometimes, Tom, and I realize we do talk shows, so we got to talk.
I know, man.
But I don't know what I can possibly say, what this press conference can possibly shed light on, other than the fact that some people in this world are motivated by hate. And Darrell Brooks, you could claim this is some person that was out there motivated, you know, just by, let's call it mental psychosis, some sort of overwhelming emotion, fleeing from the police, something of that sort. But if I understand the story as it's being reported out of Colorado Springs, Tom, that sprang entirely from hate. That crime springs from bigotry and hatred. And I'm not saying, you know, if someone's dead, they're dead. The tragedy is just as strong. The grief is just as felt. But when someone targets another group out of pure hatred, Dom, that seemingly takes these crimes to a whole different level. Someone asked, why didn't Darrell Brooks get a hate crime multiplier? Because it wasn't the motivation, seemingly. But this newest crime out in Colorado Springs, don't be surprised if a hate crime multiplier isn't in effect. That's exactly what we're talking about when we discuss hate crimes.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're taking a quick break. Coming back with your calls, 844-967-27.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join our team in the fight against cancer at V.org.
Hi, everyone. Listen to my show, The Matt McNeil Show, weekday afternoons at 3 p.m. on the Shaw 101. 1 hour every weekday where we'll talk all sorts of things like politics, especially with what's going on this election season, plus a lot of other things, too. Parenting, the arts, religion, music, beer. If it matters to Wisconsin and Minnesota, we'll talk about it. Phone calls are welcome at 952-946-6205. For 1 hour each day, come see the train chimp, The Matt McNeil Show, with the aggressive progressive Matt McNeil, 3 p.m. weekday afternoons right here on the Shaw 101.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines open, 844-967-2789. Courteous, a little bit here from the Associated Press regarding the shooting. Here's what the AP has to say. The man suspected of opening fire at a gay nightclub in Colorado Springs being held on murder and hate crime charges on Monday. Online court records show that the 22-year-old, I'm not going to say his name, faced five murder charges and five charges of committing a bias-motivated crime, causing bodily injury in Saturday night's attack at Club Q. He remained hospitalized with unspecified injuries. The charges are preliminary. Prosecutors have not yet filed them. The hate crime charges would require proving that the gunman was motivated by bias, such as against the victim's actual or perceived sexual orientation or gender identity. The attack was halted when a patron grabbed the handgun, a handgun from Aldrich, hit him with it, and pinned him down until police arrived minutes later. Wow. I mean, such heroism in such a disaster. So there you go. Hate crimes additional to the murder charges, as discussed, Gertie.
Dominic, we obviously checked in Waukesha. I know you're broadcasting from WAUK 540 AM in the Waukesha studios, downtown Waukesha, acknowledging a vigil going on there 1 year since the tragedy of the Waukesha parade. But Dom, a few more local headlines, and while there's still time before our good friend Scott Ross joins us in the happy hour, and I guarantee you, I'm going to feel a little happier. I might crack a little drink here, Dom, and celebrate the glorious victory of Doug LaFollette, Secretary of State. Dom, election denier Amy Loudenbeck has acknowledged and conceded her loss to Doug LaFollette, the venerable Doug, our friend. Now, Secretary of State Doug LaFollette, for like the 22nd consecutive time.
A spokesman for State Rep Amy Loudenbeck said she would not seek a recount in the tight race. Quote, "Obviously, the general election did not turn out the way we hoped it would. Unofficial results show LaFollette won by 7,660 votes, a margin of 0.3%. Loudenbeck's campaign previously said she was awaiting the results of the official canvass, which concluded on Monday. Another quote, "The feeling of disappointment is real, but so is the gratitude I have for the thousands of Wisconsinites who supported me in this campaign for Secretary of State. I have no regrets on how we ran our campaign or how hard we worked." LaFollette declared victory last Thursday, but Loudenbeck did not concede at that point. So she waited till the canvass was done, and now it's the case. LaFollette 82 years old, was first elected as Secretary of State in 1974, and served a single term before mounting an unsuccessful challenge for Lieutenant Governor, won the race in 82 for Secretary of State, and has served continuously in the position since then.
Dominic, when Doug first became Secretary of State, I was still watching Sesame Street. I know. You know, not with the kids or the, you know, perhaps future cruddy grandkids, but, you know, for realsies, for myself, still learning the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s, Dom.
So, you know, what do you think? Do you think this whole BS on election fraud and stop the steal, all this stuff is diminishing? I mean, certainly, maybe not Kerry Lake in Arizona, but everywhere else seems to be kind of going as it should.
Well, you know, because normally after an election, somebody wins, somebody loses, they count the votes, and people move on, and people govern, right? Until Donald Trump, it mostly worked that way. The reason we're not seeing a lot of that, you know, stolen, rigged, is because the races weren't even close in most cases. The Trump-endorsed, the election deniers, Dom, they're so Trumpy, they're so MAGA. The vast majority of general election candidates couldn't garner enough support. Look at Tim Michaels. Tim Michaels was the Trump-endorsed gubernatorial Republican candidate here, right?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't that close. Now, if Ron Johnson had lost by 27,000 votes, we'd be doing recounts and talking about rigged elections. Dom, I feel quite confident.
When you pay the attorney or retainer, you got to use them at some point, right? Otherwise, it's just what? Hush money?
I guess it could be construed as such. Dominic, Charlie Sykes, until, you know, I guess 4 or 5 years ago, you know, the opportunistic Charlie Sykes, now with the Bulwark and some radio outlet, not in Milwaukee, said a bevy of potential Republican presidential candidates stood up to challenge Donald Trump over the weekend. An anti-Trump conservative, Charlie Sykes, said there was something different this time.
Ooh.
Do you think does it feel different, Dom? Republicans with their own White House aspirations made clear over at this weekend's Republican Jewish Coalition Conference, the party should move on from former president who announced his 2024 campaign last week. And Sykes told MSNBC's Morning Show that Trump's gambit had failed to pay off. Don't tell CJ. Here's what Charlie said. Donald Trump did not sweep the field by preemptively getting into the race. Nobody backed away if, in fact, he did have an iron grip on the party. And he is still the dominant force in the party. You would have thought that other candidates would have backed away from a direct challenge. Dominic, they didn't. However, Sykes said Republicans haven't turned the page just yet. So the other candidates, they sense weakness, but the base, they still love them some Trump, Dom. Here is what Charlie said. Listening to my good friend Paul Ryan, and I wish he would have said these things a long time ago. You'll notice he's confining himself to saying that Trump is a loser. I think this is important that Republicans, I think they're, this is a significant development. Republicans are now saying we need to turn the page. We need to move on. He will lose for us, and maybe that will hit with primary voters. But then he was asked the question, what if Donald Trump became the president again? What would that mean? And he's not willing to say Donald Trump is unfit to be president of the United States. He is unwilling to say that it's not just a matter of winning and losing, but that this is a man who lacks the character to be president of the United States, that he does pose an existential threat to our democratic order. So I wonder whether or not it's necessary that Republicans notice he's a loser, but I wonder whether it's sufficient, because if you're going to continue to say he was a great president, and I was proud to work with him, it's all about losing. I'm not sure that's going to be enough to dethrone Donald Trump. Do you get the point there, Dom? It's not just that he's a loser, which he is. It's that Donald Trump is an existential threat to democracy. you know, it's not just time to turn the page. It's time to scorch earth the former. At least that'd be my opinion. But
well, I mean, no, it's
I kind of like
thing,
to see yes, him on the ballot.
He's definitely a loser. And the good news is if he divides the Republican Party, as he seems to do, the Republican Party's in disarray. He'll never get close to the halls of power once again. And so, therefore, he can be as crazy as he wants, but if he bangs his hell against the cell wall, they'll just give him a padded cell wall.
Yeah, but Merrick Garland could have brought those indictments with her without special counsel.
Now your boy Alvin Bragg in New York, Curdy.
Oh, now he gets courageous.
I told you, man. He's waiting for someone else to do the lifting. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Our pal Scott Ross going to join us at the top of the Happy Hour.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like her quince's. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5